podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the Foss is up for Manager of the Month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, welcome along to The Punt in association with the Football Writers Association. We've got Paul McCarthy on this week from the FWA coming up soon to talk Pep problems, Zlatan and Rooney's renaissance. You'll notice I couldn't alliterate Zlatan there. Plus bets in all four English divisions and a nap of the week in Europe. Dave Kellner's away sunning himself in Wakefield. So me, Lee Phelps, with Derek McGovern to start things off and Andy XL, our William Hill in-play football manager. Chaps, are you both well?
Very well.
Very good, thanks.
Good to have you back, Andy. Joe Quilly filled in for you last week and did a good job. He actually landed a nap, which is nice.
Yeah, he's doing better than me.
Yeah, Sadio Mane to score at any time. So well done to Joe. The naps information coming up a little bit later on. But let's get straight into it, shall we? Bournemouth versus Manchester City is the first of the live Premier League TV games that we're going to look at. It's 12:30 on Saturday. 8-1 Bournemouth. 4-1 the price for the draw, and it's 3-1 on for Manchester City. This looks as lopsided as Mayweather-McGregor here, Derek.
Yeah, well, it isn't. It isn't, because I couldn't believe what I watched from Manchester City the other night, Monday night against Everton. They had four defenders up against one man, Calvert-Lewin, tall, dark and hyphenated, and he told them a new one. But he ran riot against Manchester City's defence, and it... You know what? The more I look at City now, they're fantastic going forward. We saw what they did with 10 men against Everton in the second half. But Jesus, Liverpool's defence comes in for so much stick. But I'd rather have Liverpool's than Man City's, believe me. I mean, Otamendi's last decent game has yet to be played. Stone played a part in the 1-1 draw on Monday, that part being spare. And Company, he seems to be dialing in his performances nowadays, and the phone's always engaged. These three are so easy to get at. I mean, I think... Ratface Neville said it on Monday night. They are easy to get at. And when Guardiola keeps playing those three, City won't win the championship. I thought they would at the start of the season, but I could not believe what I saw on Monday night. Bournemouth. Predicting their results is either the hardest job in the world or I'm just making it look like it is. I mean, the footballing equivalent of Lord of the Rings, impossible to read. Week after week, I get their results wrong, and it's becoming something of a bad habit.
Was that a bad hobbit?
It was.
Yeah, thank God. That was sensational.
8-1 they are to win this game. Now, if I hadn't seen City on Monday, I'd have been all. I wouldn't have considered it. But now I'm gonna have to back it. I know they've started the season badly, Bournemouth, but you never know what you're going to get from them. But I don't mind that when I'm backing them at 8-1. I wouldn't be backing them at short prices at home against the crap teams. But at these kind of odds. I think the way City played on Monday, best half especially, I think they've got to be back.
Yeah, match result on both teams to score. Bournemouth is 10-1 as well, Derek. For them to win to nil would be an even bigger one. So you could even grab a couple of points extra value there potentially if you want to be greedy. But maybe no need to be greedy if you're going for the eights. To be fair,
exactly 8 and 10-1, not a hill of beans between it, is it?
Depends how big your stakes are, I suppose. But Man City have won all four Premier League meetings by a combined score of 15-1. That's the aggregate score. Do you think the Cherries will lay a glove on City, Andy?
No. I'd take a completely different view to Derek. There's a shock. even about the Everton game, I thought, accepting the defensive frailties, which we all know they've got, they were just a fraction away from absolutely murdering them. And I think it was just a bit of early season stuff, and they're not far away from running up a cricket score, and they've done it against Bournemouth before. So this is a bit of a worrying weekend from a bookmaking point of view. Across Europe, there's 9 teams at short prices, and it's a scary weekend from a bookmaker in terms of accumulators, and City are one of them. So I've got my scared hat on this week. Yeah.
When I used to be, when I used to do this this podcast when I was a freelancer, when someone said that to me, I'd be rubbing my hands together. Now I'm just quivering in my chair because I'm employed by Hills like Eye Candy is.
There's always one, though, isn't there? They never all come.
Sometimes
there's
they always... do.
Yeah. Well, I hope there's one this week.
Yeah. There were quite a few on the opening weekend when you guys were talking about the same thing. Yeah. One little bit that people might like, any goal scorer punters out there, Aguero has netted in 7 successive Premier League away games. Only Robin Van Persie has enjoyed a better run. What are we going for then, guys? Just a straight 8-1 for you, Derek?
Yeah, definitely. City are there to be taken on at the moment.
Andy?
I think City, and I also think Raheem Sterling, if he plays. He scored in the other night, and he's scored 5 in the last 4 games against Bournemouth. You know, he's another one of those that left Liverpool for a bigger club, so...
I would never back... You know, I like Sterling, but he finishes like Devon Locke. I would never back him to be on a goal scorer.
The City win and Sterling to score is 8-5. City win, Sterling to score first, which is unlikely, 13-2. City win and Sterling to score last is 13-2. Just Sterling to score on his own. Anytime is priced up at 6-4. So there are your Bournemouth versus Manchester City bets. It's a 4 means more match, of course, here at William Hill. So if there are 4 or more goals scored in the game, which there could well be, given that aggregate scoreline, then you'll get a 15% win bonus if you've had a bet on the main markets in that match. Let's have a look at the 5:30 TV game. It's Manchester United versus Leicester City. Man United have only lost 2 of their 22 Premier League meetings against the Foxes. One of those was way back in 1998 when Robbie Savage tells me he was instrumental in beating United. I can't remember that either. Some interesting stats here around Craig Shakespeare, Andy. They've scored in 14 of 15 matches under the manager, and Jamie Vardy has 8 of those. How about this one as well for goals punters? Since Shakespeare took charge of his first Premier League game against Liverpool at the end of February, matches involving Leicester City have seen more goals than any other Premier League side, 53. So they've scored 29 and conceded 24. Do you expect goals in this Man United-Leicester game? There's been plenty in United's game so far.
I do expect goals. Leicester have also scored in 5 of the last 6 meetings against United. Mm-hmm. So backing that up again. I mean, I'm actually looking at... I think United will win. Again, it's another one that scares me. It's on the list.
Yep. But 130 on at the moment.
Yeah, United and both teams to score, though. I think it's 21-10 shot.
Yep.
That looks reasonable to me. Like you say, United have run up a score at the end of games, really, in the first... they haven't looked overly impressive, but they're really efficient, as you'd expect a Mourinho team to be. But Shakespeare's doing a really good job at Leicester as well. And they play on the counter. You would expect them to nick one, quite possibly. So, yeah, United and both teams to score for me.
The draw's 9-2. Leicester are 17-2. I can sense you licking your lips a little bit there, Derek, on that Leicester price.
I am. I don't think they've done anything wrong. I think they've almost been as impressive as United. United have had token opposition so far. Leicester went to Arsenal on the opening night and really did a number on them, almost did a number on them, rather. I thought they were sensational. Follow that up with an easy win last week. And I don't know how much story to set in midweek League Cup matches, but I was really impressed with them the other night against Sheffield United, wasn't it? Mm. I thought they looked like a top four side doing a real professional job against Minnows in a cup match. Okay, don't read too much into it. We don't know how the commitment of either side really, but they looked tremendous, and they looked back almost to the side that won the league. And at 17-2, I mean, come on, United won both games 4-0, but look who they played. They played two teams who were just absolutely appalling. It's too big. It's an insult. Shakespeare has got them backfiring. And I love Leicester's price here. For the less intrepid, the 5-6, just under even money with a 2-goal start. That's giving money away, that one.
I think generally Derek's got a point this week that the outsiders are the value.
Yeah.
If there's value there, it's in the outsiders because of the accumulator factor. We've got to protect against the accumulator factor. Yeah. So all of the favourites are probably a fraction short.
I guess the one way Derek won't play, because that 17-2 and that 8-1 just looks too big, is going the draw no bet route or something like that, or the plus one for a bit of kind of a bit of security.
Well, I hate that, because I mean, you know, it's like not having a bet. I mean, what is that a popular bet, Andy? That is draw no bet. The punters latch onto that one.
Yeah, love it.
Do they? Yeah.
Yeah, people like to get a bit of money.
They're not all as wild and reckless as young McGovern.
I mean, the thing is, Derek, I mean, the draw, no bet. You get a draw and you're getting nothing back. That's what you dislike about that, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah,
and, but Leicester plus a goal here, though, Derek, is 12-5. So you're getting both results. I know that doesn't compare to 17-2, but when you've got two bets running for you, that's what I guess some people might be attracted by that. It looks
well,
a reasonable price, that 12-5, for two results.
It is. And I wouldn't put anybody off Boone. It's probably the sensible professional bet. But I just know if I took that and Leicester won the game, I'd be gutted. I'd be absolutely gutted. And you know, I'd be winning money, but I'd still be gutted. And I hate that feeling.
Romelu Lukaku is looking to become the first United player to score in his first three Premier League games, by the way. 3-4 any time he is to score here. 11-4 first and last. And he's involved in the enhanced odds offer, which is Lukaku to score and United to win. Was odds on 17-20, now even money. That might not get too many juices flowing, but may well look back on that at the end of the game and think, it was a decent one, that one. All your odds bets are available on the website as well. Hashtag your odds. Just send that into William Hill on Twitter and you can pick your own bet, and the traders will do their very best to price it up for you. All the selected your odds and enhanced odds are on the match pages, whether you go on williamhill.com or on the app. To Sunday then, 1:30, West Brom versus Stoke City. If you're a bit sleepy after staying up or getting up, depending on whether you're under or over 40 to watch the Mayweather-McGregor fight, this is a good one to drift off to. West Brom are... there is a bit of needle between these two sides. There's always been a little bit of aggro between them. 29-20, the Baggies. The draw 2-1. Stoke are 21-10. Since Tony Pulis was appointed as West Brom boss, Derek, the Baggies have gone 5 games unbeaten against Stoke, and this won't surprise you at all, this next start. I don't think anyone will be surprised by this. Just under half of Pulis's 31 Premier League wins as West Brom boss have been by a 1-0 scoreline. That's 48%, just like their two wins this season already. So 1-0 Baggies, 5-1.
No, it does surprise you, that stat. I thought it'd be a higher percentage of 1-0 win. I mean, you say there's a lot of needle between the two teams, but there is between the two managers as well. Tony Pulis and Mark Hughes have had their bust-ups in the past. In fact, I heard this week that the Sparky and Pulis tried to patch up their differences at a lunch attended by just the two managers and their food tasters. I mean, that's how much they hate each other. Sparky said he wanted to clear the air, but Pulis thought it was a jab at West Brom's tactics. He always looks like he's up to no good on the touchline, Pulis, doesn't he? Just one of those fellas I can't take to, and his tactics, the way his teams play, it's no surprise. I mean, this is not a game that's going to pull in the neutral supporters. In fact, I'm more interested in to see what happens on the touchline between the two managers than what goes on at the pitch. Now the price, you know, home or away win appeals to me. I can't get a handle on either side. Right now, West Brom, 100% record. They're one of the big three right now, West Brom. But, you know, Stoke did a number on Arsenal last week. If there's going to be a winner, I would go for Stoke. But I think this is going to be a tame draw.
Yeah, it's hard to look much further than that, to be fair, Andy. It's easy to pick the draw, but then it glares it, doesn't it? I mean, it's not the biggest price. Stoke are a little bit bigger than the draw at 21-10, the 2-1. I listened to the podcast last week, and Derek was talking about Sadio Barahino, and not particularly in glowing terms, justified. He hasn't scored in any of his last 28 Premier League appearances, and that's at both these clubs, 13 for the Baggies and 15 for the Potters. If there's a game for him, this is the one. But I don't think many will be queuing up to back him at 11-4 to score in this one, will they?
If there's a game for him, it's probably Baccarat.
I can just imagine Barahino sitting down with his cravat on to a nice game of Baccarat.
I can too. Him and Derek.
What do you reckon?
I'm ashamed to say I agree with Derek. Bore draw.
Yeah.
Bore draw. Not much
the
in
nil,
it.
The 0-0, 6-1.
Yeah, yeah, that's tempting, isn't it? I mean, it's very short, isn't it, for the Premier League game, 6-1, but you can understand why.
9 goals in the last 6 games between these two tells you everything.
Yeah, under 1.5 goals is 6-4 as well. So, it might surprise us. And if you are sleepy, like I say, after the big fight, then it might be a good one just to kind of catch up on a few minutes. The one everyone's looking forward to this weekend, the big match of the weekend, is Liverpool versus Arsenal. Derek,
here we go.
Yes, Derek versus Andy on the podcast. They're going to scrape past Leicester, lost at Stoke. Now they've got Liverpool. Arsenal have lost 8 of the last 13 Premier League away matches. Unfurl the banners, hire the light aircraft, and chocks away Gooners fans. It's time to fly banners over any ground you can find. Are they going to reverse the trend against Liverpool? They lost to them both times last year, didn't they, Andy?
I'd like to say yes,
but I don't think so. I think Liverpool are in the better form at the moment, although I don't think either team's actually hit the ground running. Liverpool rolled Hoffenheim over in the week, and that was a good performance. But
good, it was outstanding.
Oh, here we go.
I thought when I watched them against Hoffenheim, I thought it was a Hoffmeister Baird, Derek, rather than Hoffenheim.
Some of the defenders looked like it.
Yeah, it moved about the same.
They were tremendous, Liverpool, and going forward, you know, they were just sensational.
Well, this game, I mean, both going forward, both teams, you could say, are sensational. You know, I mean, all right, yeah. You know, I know Arsenal drew a blank at Stoke, but in that first game, they looked great going forward. I mean, this literally could be anything, couldn't it? You know, this could be a 3-3 or a 4-4 or something daft like that.
That's the point, really. Is both teams are quite unpredictable, although I just have a feeling. I'm hoping for a draw, and that tells you where I am, really.
Yeah, 13-5 the price for the draw. Arsenal 11-5, and Liverpool just a shade of odds against at 23-20. Derek, you'll be as confident as you've been for a while. Is it a little bit short on Liverpool? Are you happy with that?
No, I think that's a fair price, to be honest. Arsenal can't buy a win at Anfield in recent years. In fact, they're actually considering buying a ref this weekend because that's how poor they've been at Anfield. I don't understand. I keep saying this about Wenger, I'm not 100% sure where Andy's feelings are about the manager of Arsenal. I mean, everything was hunky-dory after that 4-3 win on the opening night, and then after last week's 1-0 defeat, you know, the Wenger out brigade once again started volivanting their anger. It's just like I noticed what Ian Wright on telly midweek saying that you feel that an uprising is just one bad result away. Well, here it is. This is the bad result Arsenal are going to get. Take Sanchez out of that team, and he won't be playing in this. Arsenal do not have a single player who would be first choice for Liverpool. Not that Liverpool have that many, by the way. I just can't see how Arsenal have got a chance in this game, and I think it's a fair price for Liverpool. That performance in midweek, don't underestimate that. That wasn't like a Hertha Berlin in the Europa League. That was a team that finished fourth in the Bundesliga. They battered them, absolutely battered them. Liverpool was sensational, and Anfield will be rocking this weekend, and I can see nothing other than a comfortable Liverpool win.
A couple of goal scorer stats as well here. Firmino scored 3 in 4 against Arsenal in the Premier League, and Mane has had a hand in 5 goals in his previous 5 Premier League starts against the Gunners. 3 goals and 2 assists. Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 5-2, now 3-1 in your enhanced odds tab on this match page. Liverpool to win both halves was 9-2, now 11-2. And if you do fancy the Gunners and you fancy Lacazette to get back on the score sheet after his opener on his debut, then Lacazette to score and Arsenal to win was 4-1, now 5-1. You say comfortable, Derek. Are you happy with the 23-20? Are you looking for something a bit Liverpool -1? Is that going a bit too far? Or that's 13-5.
That's not going far enough.
So, Derek, what are you going for? What's your bet in this match?
I'm going to go for Liverpool -2, 7-1.
I'm hoping for a draw. I actually think Liverpool's a decent price. If I'm with my bookmaking head on, I think Liverpool are a decent price. I think they're a bit better than that 23-20.
They're your bets for the 4 live TV games this weekend. Let's get a check on the naps.
Al Ross is proudly at the top of the naps table after tipping Accrington Stanley to win at 8-5. He's on plus £22.85. Derek's first winning nap of the season was Chelsea to beat Spurs at Wembley at 13-5, so he's on plus £16. Joe Crilly picked out Sadio Mane to score at 11-8, so the William Hill reps are £3.75 in profit and the rest are in the red. Must do better.
There you go, the latest on the naps. Derek with a winner last weekend. Joe Crilly with a winner. That means you're both on the crest of a fantastic run on the naps table. Al Ross leading the way, as we just heard there from Beth. Any other bets in the rest of the games, chaps, before we get your best bets of the weekend? We've got Palace, Swansea, Huddersfield, Southampton, Newcastle, West Ham, Watford, Brighton. All 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. On the Sunday, we've got a 1:30 game, which is a cracker. You're surprised it's not on TV. 1:30 game, Chelsea, Everton and Tottenham versus Burnley at Wembley. 4 o'clock, Burnley going to Wembley for that Premier League game. Anything that really grabs your attention in those games, Derek?
Well, I like the look of Everton at 13-2, well enough for the fact that they played on Monday night away from home, they played on Thursday night away from home, and then they're playing against Chelsea away from home. I think that's just a bit, one picture too far for them. I know that Ronald Koeman, the manager, was moaning about it, but I liked what I saw from them the other night at Man City. I think they, I question some of his signings, but I think they're going the right way, Everton, but they're not big enough for me to back at 13-2. A couple of games there I think are impossible to read, aren't they? The Huddersfield-Southampton game, I'm not sure about that. And Newcastle-West Ham, both teams struggling. I really don't know, but I know what my nap's going to be.
Surely Newcastle are a certainty.
Do you think?
They've got the Greek god as a manager. What's going on?
I know. I was about to say, you can only work with what you've got, but he took a Liverpool side with Jimmy Traore into the Champions League final and won it. So he is a god, but it hasn't worked it so far yet this season. But it'll come right for Newcastle. And if they are going to get their first win, this is a good chance to get the first win in against the West Ham side, that team, all at sea. But 13-10 isn't a great price, I don't think.
Anything that really grabs your fancy in the rest of the Premier League games, Andy?
To be honest, in the Premier League, I'm struggling to find a bet this week. That's why the controversial bit comes in. I've actually looked beyond the Premiership.
Yeah, so here's one, Derek. Andy is asking if he can have a nap outside of the Premier League. Now, we obviously, as part of the punt now, we have Championship, League One, League Two, and European previews in it. So, I mean, what's your thought? I'm thinking if he's got a nap outside the Premier, it must be good.
Well, if it wins, no, we can't have it.
If you take me in the Premiership, I'll have United and both teams to score.
What's your one outside the Premier League, just out of interest?
Wolves at Brentford. Oof. Wolves are absolutely flying. I know Derek said earlier, you can't really pin too much on midweek, particularly when it was the Wolves reserves that beat Southampton. But I just think the feeling in the club is so positive at the moment. And they look like a Premier League club in waiting to me at the moment. I know it's early season, but everything's going the right way for them. And I can't see why they're second favourite at Brentford. Can't see it.
Let's stick to the Premier League. That's a nice little tip. Anyone who's listened to that, Wolves at Brentford is his true nap, but for the Premier League, for the purposes of the treble, we'll keep it to the Premier League. So Man United and both teams to score. Derek, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for Brighton, 100-30 to win at Watford. I mean, when Watford are odds on, you oppose them. It's just a load of betting.
Brentford are 100-30.
Did you see who scored the other night?
No, go on.
Troy Deeney.
Troy Deeney. It's happened.
Your favourite.
It's happened.
I don't know why you're so against Troy Deeney. I listened to that the other week. I thought it was harsh on the guy. I'm going to go in with... I'm going against Derek on that opening game as well. I think Man City are good things here. And for the purposes of the treble and the nap, I know it's a bit skinny, but I'm going to go Man City minus a goal at 3-4. So the Premier League treble pays out at 22.5 to 1. So... decent, that. That'll be all right. Yeah, nice. A tenner on that, and you'll pay for your weekend.
Yeah, now some of us are adventurous, odds against.
Yeah, I know. I'm going odds on here. But just if you two are going to go 21-10 and 100-30, I'll go. I'll just make sure it's solid. That's the Premier League done and dusted. All your bets and a little cheeky one in the Championship. Thanks very much to Andy XL. Derek's going to stay on the line. We're going to speak to Paul McCarthy from the FWA after we've heard from the leader of the Naps table, League Two's best, Al Ross.
Yes, it's true, Colchester are a good price to beat Forest Green. It's true that Luton are far too big at Mansfield. And yes, Swindon are a must for any Acca at 4-5 at home to Crawley. Genuinely, who decided Harry Kuehl would make a good manager? No team, though, in League 2 has a 100% record. One team has a 0% record, that is Crawley. For the leaders to be 4-5 at home, that would normally be the nap. But instead, I'm reaching back to last season and the one bet that made more money than any other in League 2, and that is Exeter to win away. Only goals scored is keeping Exeter behind Swindon and off top spot. They're at Cheltenham, who do have 3 points, but those 3 points were a 1-0 home win over Crawley, so don't get too excited. Other than that, they lost at Morecambe, who look in trouble as well. They got knocked out of the trophy by Swansea's kids at the first hurdle, out of the League Cup by Oxford at the first hurdle, and last week spanked 3-0 at Carlisle, amassing just 2 shots on target. Exeter have won the last 4 meetings with Cheltenham. No team won more matches on the road in League 2 last season, and Exeter's only dropped points this season was a well-earned point at leaders Swindon. Ruben Reid has opened the scoring in 2 of Exeter's 3 games this season. That could be worth a look. There's no prices at the time of recording. Not that it matters here, because as always, I'm all about the outrights. 11-8 on Exeter is the nap this week.
It's a pleasure to welcome Paul McCarthy from the FWA onto the Punt Podcast this week. Derek's still on the line. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Goodly, yourself?
Yeah, excellent, thank you. I was watching some of the clips from the FWA Live you did before the start of the season with Arsene Wenger and Gary Lineker. It was a cast of thousands there. It looked a tremendous event.
It was great, and I mean, the most important thing is we raised £10,000 for the victims of the Grenfell Tower tragedy. I have to say, It was a real coup to get Arsene Wenger along. He doesn't often do these kind of things, but he was absolutely outstanding. And he said he did it because, you know, London's been good to him for 20, 21 years as a manager of Arsenal, and he thought that London had taken a fair few blows this year, what with the terrorist attacks and then the Grenfell Tower tragedy. So he felt that you know, it was appropriate for him to be able to do something for the victims.
Yeah, fair play, and a good event all round. Keep an eye out on the Football Writers Association website for more FWA live events just like that. We're going to have a chat about a couple of superstars, really. Maybe squeeze three in to this little chat of ours. And I'll start with this, a little clue to anyone who knows. Guess who we're talking about here. So after a 1-1 draw with Everton, Pep Guardiola said he didn't like playing on Mondays, didn't like being last up on the weekend. He's had a pretty good record before that. It's just the latest in a catalogue of things that Pep Guardiola said, and kind of strange behaviour as well since he's come in here. We all thought this guy was like the coolest guy on the planet. Doesn't quite come across like that, Derek, does he, Pep? He's spent fortunes, can't quite seem to get it right, and a lot of people on Twitter are accusing him of, you know, having kind of, you know, a silver spoon, if you like, at his previous clubs. Now he's having to try and do it for real in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's at the moment, you'd have to say he could be one of the myths of football. I mean, you and I could have taken Barcelona and Bayern Munich titles. He's been given everything he wanted at Manchester City, and he's no further to winning the title than he was when he arrived. And his behaviour at the final whistle on Monday night, you know, when after that Everton draw, and he raced off the blocks like a sprinter. It looked like he'd forgotten to buy Yaya Toure a birthday cake, and the shops were closing. It's just his behaviour is very odd. His post-match and pre-match press conferences are getting odder. And now he's thinking of spending £20 million on Johnny Evans. Case closed.
Paul, I mean, they're still the favourites, Paul. Man City 6-4 for the title, but it doesn't seem like a steady ship, does it?
No, I think I think the focus of attention during the summer has been on Antonio Conte at Chelsea. The problems that he basically made for himself, quite frankly. But I think the manager most under pressure is Guardiola, because as Del said, the point is that everything he wants, he gets. If he wants to buy a dozen fullbacks in a summer and sell as many, then he gets almost carte blanche to do it. But the fact is, he's bought all these fullbacks and defenders, and then ended up playing Leroy Sané at left back towards the end of the game. So it kind of, I think there is a huge amount of pressure, expectation, and I think that this is the first time that Guardiola has ever felt that. I don't agree with Del. Listen, I'm not sure that I could have managed Barcelona to the title or Bayern Munich, but I take the point that he had the best collection of players there. Now, with not necessarily the best collection of players, we are seeing a test. And I think if you talk to a few of the guys who cover Manchester City regularly last season, they found him to be idiosyncratic, I think is the kindest description. He didn't like doing press conferences. He wasn't used to the demands of the English media, where you have to do a press conference for the radio, one for the television, one for the daily papers, one for the Sunday papers, one for the overseas broadcasters. I think it took its toll on him last season, and I think there is more pressure on him than any other manager in the Premier League this season.
I can hear a collective diddums from the listeners to the podcast.
The world's smallest violin has just been taken out, obviously.
Let's talk about another superstar. This guy, I mean, before he came to Manchester United last season, he was kind of widely viewed with a little bit of, I don't know, maybe suspicion, and he wasn't classed as being one of the all-time greats. I must say he's done nothing but impress me since he came into the English game. This is him being interviewed this week. I'm talking about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, about Romelu Lukaku calling him up and asking him if he could have his shirt.
Lukaku called me and he said, bro, can I get the number 9? I'm not on that level where I will make it difficult for you. I just want you to feel happy and feel welcome. So I give you the number 9, but I will take the number 10. That's the way we do it. So I never left. I just upgraded my number.
Zlatan is a law unto himself, isn't he, Paul? staying with Man United, really. Man United 9-4 to win the title, and I think, you know, you look at him, you think he's like a football version of an elder statesman almost. The kind of the gravitas that he carries himself with, and that you can imagine what kind of impact he has in the dressing room as well.
Yeah, I think so. I read Martin Samuel's column in the Daily Mail this morning, and I kind of agreed with every word. I thought he was outstanding for Manchester United when they needed a totem last season, when they needed a marquee player. He was the one. He was one of the very few redeeming factors of the season in terms of individual players. But I wonder, you know, we heard him there talking about Lukaku. I wonder, you know, if he comes back around October, November time, and everybody's saying, "Oh, it's great if Lukaku's not scoring, or he's tired," then you put in Ibrahimovic. But what does it do to Martial? What does it do to Rashford? I just wonder whether his presence slightly destabilizes Manchester United at certain stages of the season, because he wants to be the focus of attention. I know he's got the number 10 shirt, but I've never seen him play as an out-and-out number 10. I just think that when push came to shove, when he couldn't get his own way at Barcelona, ironically, under Guardiola, talking about when Messi was calling all the shots and Messi wanted to move in from the wing and play more centrally, it was Ibrahimovic who had to make way. I just wonder whether if Lukaku's scoring a bag of goals this season, as you know, he started off pretty well so far, and Martial and Rashford are playing as well as they can play and have played, whether his presence perhaps just gives it a slight undercurrent. I don't know. What do you think, Del?
You know, we were talking about Guardiola being the biggest myth in football. I'm sorry, forget that. Ibrahimovic is the biggest myth.
No!
What did he do at Man City?
28 goals he scored last season.
You know what my thoughts are about
goals.
You know what's his name? Ruud van Horsveen scored 1 million goals. United won sod all when he was playing.
If he'd have scored 28 goals for Liverpool last season, he'd have been like the greatest player since sliced bread.
It's all glib talk. We need a 20-goal-a-season striker. You don't. Nobody needs that. As long as all the players are mucking in, you don't need a 20-goal-a-season striker. United had
Manchester United did, Del, because their next leading scorer behind Ibrahimovic was Juan Mata, and he got the same amount of goals as Gary Cahill last season.
Yeah, I know, but if Ibrahimovic wasn't there, you'd have a more mobile striker. The goals would be like Liverpool have got with Firmino. We don't have a 20-goal striker player, but we'll probably win the league this season. You don't need it. He just gets in the way, Ibrahimovic. He's never done anything on a football pitch that's made me think he's a player. One game
other than that overhead kick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Trevor Sinclair scored
Other than winning the title in every apart from Manchester United, in every league that he's played for.
Look who he's played for, though. I tell you what, Barcelona could put me in their team. They'd still win the league. Most of the teams he's gone for, the teams that would be 1-4 to win the league at the start of the season. So he didn't make them league title winners. They were already going to be that anyway, whoever was playing. I've never... Okay, I'll take your points about that overhead kick he scored against England. But plenty of players have scored overhead kicks. That was great, but I'm sorry, he's a myth. I just don't get him.
Sorry, I don't mean to steal the final word off Del, but listen, I think, and it's not very often that anybody gets the final word off Del. I couldn't disagree more. I think his presence makes teams better, and I think he made Manchester United a lot better than they ought to have been last season.
The beauty of radio, Paul, is that you have a fader. Where you can kind of, you know, you can pull the fader down.
Yeah, you made them so good. By the way,
still got back in.
He finished sixth.
The man whose number 10 shirt he's taken at Manchester United is Wayne Rooney, of course. Just a quick line on Rooney, guys, because a lot of people maybe thought he was winding down. It was a bit of a romantic kind of end to his career going to Everton. No such thing. I mean, talk about being revitalised. He looks like he's rolled back the years, about 10 years.
I think Rooney has been and still is a fantastic footballer. You know, his record for Manchester United in England speaks for himself, but he's also human and he needs to feel wanted and he needs to feel loved. I think Mourinho showed him a lot of respect, but I don't think he showed him any love or affection. I think he's gone back to Everton, and I think he's had that arm around his shoulder. He's felt, and I think he looks re-energized. I don't think we'll ever see anything like the Wayne Rooney of 5, 6, 7 years ago. But I think that he's got a new lease of life, Interesting to see him play in the same team as Sigurdsson, scored that incredible goal against Hajduk Split. They seem to be a player who would be vying for the same position, and they've just spent, you know, £40 million on Sigurdsson. You can't see him taking necessarily a back seat to Rooney, but interesting problems for Ronald Koeman to have.
Hopefully, history books will remember him as an England player who maybe, you know, will never get the kind of the accolades that some of his predecessors have got, but all-time outfield most caps, all-time leading goal scorer. So that'll stay in the history books for a long, long time. Incidentally, he's 20-1 to be the Premier League top goal scorer. Zlatan 20-1 as well. The more likely candidates: Lukaku 2-1, Kane 4-1, Aguero 6-1, Lacazette 8-1, Morata 8, so is Jesus. Sadio Mane 14s. Paul, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. Check out the footballwriters.co.uk website. You'll see actually video from that FWA live event that we were talking about on there, and this podcast is on there as well, all together with all the different articles and plenty of information about the organisation as well. Thanks very much to Paul. Thanks, Derek, as usual. We'll speak to you next week. Let's get on with the betting, shall we? We're going to hear from Alex Dunn on his European nap, Pete Farris on the Championship, and Gav Pozlowski on League One. All coming right now on The Punt.
There is sensational value to be found all around Europe, but the one game I'm going to focus on is VVV Venlo. They're at home to Ajax, and Ajax are a club in crisis. You associate them with winning pretty routinely, to be honest, over in Holland. They win more often than they don't, or so you would think, but they've not had a fantastic start to the season. They lost last week, and they were knocked out of Europe in midweek by Rosenborg. They got to the final of the Europa League last season. This time, they're not even in the group stages. Joel Veltman, the centre-back for Ajax, one of their key players, even said that the last time that Ajax were not in Europe, he was not even born. So this is a blow for Ajax, don't get me wrong. They're a club in a little bit of a mini crisis right now, and they come up against a Venlo side who've come up from the second division. They've had a fantastic start. They've hit the ground running. Their home form last season was superb. It's one of the reasons why they came up. They're worth chancing. They're 5-1 in the outright market of Venlo. That's worth a go, as far as I'm concerned. But also, as ever, if you want to be a little more cautious, Venlo plus a goal, even Venlo plus two goals, if you think they are going to lose but only by a goal, is 6-10. Venlo plus a goal, 17-10. Draw no bet, 15-4. So many markets for you to get involved with. But nap of the week on the European front, we're going to go for it. It's Venlo at 5-1.
Ipswich are one of two sides in the Championship to have won all their games so far this season. This week they host Fulham, and their price is gigantic. They're 21-10 to beat Fulham, 23-20, draw no bet. Both managers, both Jukanovic and Mick McCarthy, made a raft of changes midweek, which should mean plenty of fresh names out there for both sides. But the price is just far too big. Fulham are the joint lowest scorers after four games, having scored just twice. And the manager has himself admitted that Fulham have a massive goal-scoring problem. For Ipswich, well, no real problems at all, have they? They've started very well indeed. They're the league's top goal scorers. 21-10 is frankly offensive for Mick McCarthy's men, knowing especially that at home, even in the slightly more mediocre times, they are still often almost impossible to beat. It's a simple, obvious and easy one for me this week. I'm going to stick to a draw no bet, but even that is 23-20. So Ipswich draw no bet, my nap in the Championship.
My League One nap this weekend is Rotherham United at home to Charlton, two sides who are at their strongest when they play at home. Charlton's away form is pretty poor. They're very leaky. They do concede plenty of goals, Charlton, and in their last 8-9 games or so, they've only won once on the road, and that was at struggling Chesterfield towards the end of last season. Rotherham United, they're away form, two defeats consecutively this season, but at home, they beat Southend by 5-0. Both these sides were involved in Carabao Cup action midweek, and Rotherham United only just lost away at Huddersfield. Rotherham, they've got Kiefer Moore in action as well, scoring plenty of goals. 4 goals in 2 games for Kiefer Moore, including a hat-trick against Southend where they won 5-0. So Kiefer Moore is a big play for me to score any time at 29-20. That is also the price to Rotherham United to win, 29-20. There will be goals in this one. So Rotherham United and over 2.5 goals is also my selection, which is 13-5. But my play, my nap, is Rotherham at home to Charlton Athletic.
Well, thanks very much to all the guys today. Paul McCarthy from the FWA, Andy XL from William Hill, Derek McGovern as ever, Gav Pujolowski, Pete Farris, Al Ross and Alex Dunn. Hope you got some nice tips out of that. We'll be back midweek next week for an update on the Premier League, and Dave Kellner will be back this time next week for a full look at the international weekend. I bet he can't wait. You can hear this at Audio Boom. You can subscribe at iTunes. Please do. All we ask is to spread the message, tell a friend, and if you're having a bet on any of the action this weekend, then very best of luck.
Committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.